Age Appropriate Podcast with Tom Lucy and Charlie Baker.
This is the Age Appropriate Podcast with Tom Lucy and Charlie Baker. And we're joined today by the wonderful comedian, dear friend, Ivo Graham.
Hi, Ivo.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Charlie. Thank you for having me on your
How
podcast.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Very polite,
you
look isn't he, Tom?
You look very well.
Bathing in the Monday morning sunlight of Charlie Baker's personality.
Oh.
He's had a long drive and he's raring to go.
Just come warn in. The listeners that Charlie's in quite an unusual mood this morning.
Oh, I just got some news for both of you. Just put your arms out. I just got a bit of news for you. Put your arms out. Pinch punch first of the month. Bad news.
Very good. Shall we start again? Or?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to start again. I make that clear.
What do you think of pinch punch first of the month? It's quite cruel, isn't it?
It's quite
a horrible way to start the month.
I don't mind it, actually. I think it's I think it's good to be reminded that it's... I always get excited at the start of a new month.
Do you?
Well, it's like a new chapter.
All right.
So...
Well, what are you going to write in this chapter? Is this going to be the where you reveal who the killer is?
No, too early for that. I think this is going to be filler. This chapter.
Oh,
August 2016 will be. It's not going to be a page turner.
Oh,
not for me.
Okay.
It's going to be quite a big month for Tom Lucy, who's heading up to the Edinburgh Fringe. But for me and Charlie, it's.
How are you feeling about that, Tom?
I'm excited. I think.
Is it your first one?
No. I went last year.
What did you do last year?
I saw you there last year.
Oh, yeah, you came to my show.
Obviously memorable.
Yeah,
I'm excited. Any advice, Ivo?
Don't
go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very pleased not to be going. But now that you are going, that's fine. Have you booked your trains?
Yep, tomorrow morning.
Good. How much did you book your trains for?
Quite far in advance, actually, and with a 16 to 25 rail car.
Yes, please.
So, age appropriate. Maybe there should be a buzzer every time something... Every time someone says something age appropriate.
Well, we were talking about 16 to 25 rail cards earlier, weren't we, Ivo Graham?
Yes, because I must remember to renew mine shortly before my 26th birthday. Because
I think I think 25 is too old for a rail card.
No.
There we are. I think it goes on too far. You should have your shit together by 25.
No.
You should be able to pay for a rail card.
Absolutely not. You're still getting your feet under the table of life, Charlie, at
25.
That's
why you don't work for National Rail.
Yeah. I think 23 tops.
23?
Like a year right, you may have had a year off before you've gone to university, and then you've left university, you've got a job, you've had a job for a year, that's it. Pay your way.
Okay. Do you think that any of the other... do you think...
Wow.
If the listeners could see the hand gestures that have accompanied Charlie's furious...
I've never seen you like that.
First major point.
Wow. What other rail cards do you think are a swizz, Charlie? Do you hate the two together as well?
Family rail
the two together. Well, that sounds pointless, two together to me. What about...
Senior?
When does the senior one start?
Kick too early, according
when does it
to
kick
you.
In?
You must be near the senior one now.
Ah. Is it 55, the senior?
I think it's 60 plus.
Is it 60 plus?
Still too early.
They should shouldn't be on trains anyway.
Also, people who are travelling on trains, 60 plus, to go nice places,
Bournemouth.
Got all the money anyway.
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah, you're right.
The London Bournemouth line, I would give them a discount on, but I don't see why they should be travelling.
You ran out of what to say.
I started that without knowing what I was going to say.
Let's just see what Ivo thinks of my supermarket theory, because I'm sure he hasn't.
I can't wait for this. I've listened to the Romesh episode.
Okay,
I did.
My supermarket theory: retired people should not be allowed in supermarkets at weekends.
That's
in Oxford.
It's an age appropriate. It's a big hot topic on the age appropriate.
It's a very funny proposition because they block it up. Yeah.
And they've got all week, Ivo.
Yeah, they've but then you
they
could...
might, they don't have all week, though. They're at bingo and they're at Pilates.
No, they've
and...
got
on a day.
They've got all week. They're allowed in on a Sunday morning. No, they're not. I was going to say to buy their newspaper. No, they're not. They should go to the newsagent, support local.
Right, support your local newsagent. Well, but you could set up about stand-up comedians as well. We shouldn't be clogging up public services on weekends.
I'm happy to go with it.
What you're
when do you go to the supermarket?
Nearly every day, because we live really near one, which means... You never get your big shop in.
You're always just going in
last minute. Oh, just go to the shop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Always buying 24 Weetabix when you should be buying 72.
Exactly.
Do you buy big milks or small milks, but regular
I've got
regular
children,
intervals?
So I buy big milks,
big milks. Tom. What colour lid?
All three. Because the baby can drink whole milk.
Mm.
Most people will have tuned out of this by now.
Yeah.
But,
no, most people will be turning it up going, finally the big issue.
What do you have in your tea? I have skimmed milk in my tea.
I don't know what mine is, but
red.
It's green top.
Yeah, the green top. Semi-skimmed.
Really?
You know what that
semi-skimmed.
Is.
Semi-skimmed.
Ooh. Do you?
Sorry, yeah.
It's too creamy for your tea.
Are you a full fat man, Ivo?
No, I'm the same as Tom. I'm afraid semi-skimmed.
Oh, I don't know how you do it.
But I don't think I probably tell the difference, really. Our flatmate, I live with my girlfriend and another flatmate.
Have you got
a lovely chap? I do. Sorry. That's all. It's all very exciting.
Kissing.
We came back. kissing. My girl. Yeah, I kissed my flat and my girlfriend, and we've got another flatmate who watches. And we came back from holiday, and he said, "I thought you wouldn't have any milk, so I've got you a milk."
Oh, that's nice.
But it was a small one.
That's a pint. a pint or a UHT?
It was a pint. Oh, and right. I thought it's not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough for the homecoming brew.
Oh, it's a pint. You don't need a pint of milk.
Of milk.
I think you've been out of order there. Actually,
well, both like lattes and I drink a lot of cereal.
So you try and deny your Eton education.
You eat a lot of cereal, do you?
Yes, I do.
Like a young Seinfeld.
Like a Seinfeld at any age.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'd have said if I'd have sensed that attitude from you? Oh, fuck off, Ivo.
I hope he's not listening as well.
That's what I know.
Honest,
does he still live with
Matt.
You this far?
Yeah, he's great. He's an excellent flatmate.
Just before we hit what this week's theme is.
Yeah.
Some exciting news, Tom.
Yeah.
We've had some feedback.
Great. Really?
One bit of feedback.
I've got some feedback.
One bit of feedback. And it's pretty exciting. It's from a listener. So that's good. Let me just find...
Is it not your wife?
No, it's not my wife. Oh, I've had lots of feedback from her about it, mate. I don't think, out of the two of us, I don't think I'm her favourite. So it's a shame, isn't it?
Mm.
She says
week.
We need more women, which we do. can we just let's elephant in the room?
We haven't had any women.
We have
so
asked
far.
Lots of women to come on this podcast and they've not been available. So it's not through choice.
But you ask ones that you know won't be available, don't you, Charlie?
No,
like calling someone when you know
true.
Their phone will be off.
What we don't want to do is get just people on just because they're a woman.
No, you're absolutely right.
You know, so.
Wow. We'll have to edit this out.
Why?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's good.
Right.
Not
no, I cannot find you talk about
who would be your dream. Who would be your dream female guest?
Ooh.
Of any.
I wouldn't mind if they're female.
I'd like to get Hillary Clinton.
It would boost the figures now. I think having
talk
Clinton
about
in the run up to the election.
Family.
Right.
And connections.
I think you'd talk about whatever Hillary wanted to talk about. To be honest, you could try
Angela
and
Merkel would be good. Do you think she'd? I've emailed
Angela
her agent.
Merkel. I'd ask her why she.
I'd got an out of office reply from her agent, so I guess she'll get back to me.
Are you allowed to call people in this country who are called Angela, like Angela Barnes?
Yeah.
Can we start calling her Angela Barnes?
You could, but she might not talk to you anymore.
Maybe we'll get her on. We'll get her on and ask her.
Angela Barnes.
Hey, Charlie Baker from Audio Boom. Email from Audio Boom.
Okay.
Feedback from the.
James of Haynes has posted a comment to your post.
Where's Haynes?
I don't know.
I don't know who this is. And it just says, feedback. I like this podcast.
Okay. Is that it?
And that's it.
Thanks, James.
From Haynes.
So we've had some feedback, Tom. Pretty good.
I think most people who live in Haynes would speak like that. Quite minimal language use.
You think?
Yeah. I'm not happy about that, actually.
Oh, why?
He's not given feedback at all.
His feedback.
That's
he likes
not feedback.
It. Well, he's not gone, this is a pilot. Shit.
No, we won't read those ones out.
I will. They'll be the fun ones.
Ivor, you had some feedback.
So I listened to the Romesh one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, everyone's listened to that one.
Well, it was literally the most recent one.
I don't know the most recent one. Who buys albums and just listens to the singles, aren't
yeah, just
you?
Buy the, just buy the best not. Of with you, Ivor. No.
I was doing my prep this morning.
Sure.
And it's the most recent one, I think.
Okay.
It's not, this. But...
No, is Lloyd Griffith is going to be very upset.
Oh, I skipped ooh. That one. Like, you know.
Who didn't?
Listen, I'm
if only Lloyd Griffith did some more skipping.
Wow.
You know, I know what the different tapes sound like. love you, Lloyd.
Scathing.
Go on.
I will listen to the Lloyd one. So it was recorded backstage at a gig.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's exciting. It makes for a sort of a narking atmosphere.
Yeah.
But you do get distracted, particularly as another comic, by trying to work out who's on stage and yes. listen to how well they're doing.
Someone is smashing that gig.
Is it Stephen K. Amos?
It's Stephen K. Amos.
Yeah. So you obviously you're trying to listen to the great chat.
Yeah.
But you just get sort of wafts of Amos.
I think it changes in the middle.
So I drifted off, and suddenly we're talking about gypsies.
Yeah.
And I sort of missed the link there.
Ivo, don't bring that.
And then you're just trying to catch up to why you're talking about gypsies and how that's related. Yeah. And then Stephen Grant walks in.
Yeah, don't bring gypsies.
There's an ongoing court case with the gypsy thing. So
don't bring
gypsies
up.
We're not allowed to talk about that,
Tom. We're actually at a gig now. Someone's on stage. I don't know.
Yeah.
Someone's doing their Edinburgh preview.
Lloyd Griffin.
Yeah.
Some absolute nightmare next door.
We're backstage at Lloyd's Edinburgh preview. Anyway, this week's theme, we're 10 minutes in and we've not touched on the theme.
But sellotape.
It's the theme is this week, in your, because Tom, you are recently 20, you were birthday the other week.
Yeah.
You were 20. Ivo, how old are you, Ivo?
25, midway through my 20s.
Midway through 20s. So we're going to do early 20s, 20s special.
Oh, lovely.
How have your early 20s been, Ivo?
Very good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think they've been some of the best years of my life.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Better than your late noughts?
Better than my late...
8, 9, 10 is quite good, I think.
The late noughts.
The late noughties.
I'd say the best years were probably 19,
don't say that. I've just...
20 and 22.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. Really?
Why is that? What happened when you were 19?
So 19 was my second year at university when I started to feel a bit confident. I had some nice friends and I started doing comedy. It was still very new rather than what it is now. Yeah. So as we all know, just a chore.
You passed it now. Do you feel like you passed it now, Ivan?
Passed it,
because
exactly.
You were Tom, really. You're like the ghost of Christmas future
exactly, very
Tom.
Much so, yeah.
It's quite weird, this.
Watch
it?
Out,
it's
Tom. Like a... and then 22, I'd finished uni and moved to London. And had all this, again, sort of what Tom probably is now, prematurely having quit uni.
Yeah.
I've sort of that freedom of being, and you've just moved to London.
Yeah.
And all your friends are in one place. Yeah. And you're just about getting by on comedy alone.
Yeah.
And that's very exciting in and of
and you
itself.
You went off the rails a bit for a few months.
I did go off the rails a bit. I went to a few too many
drugs
parties.
You've seen The Wolf of Wall Street.
I was the dwarf getting tossed about at other people's parties, but I didn't mind. Still got invited.
Yeah.
So those are probably the best two. But all the way through the 20s has been good thus far, I'd say.
What mistakes do you think you've made you can warn Tom of?
Possibly not putting enough structure in my life as a result of... but then that's hard,
that's
isn't
a good
it?
Call. Yeah, I call the early 20s the bell end year.
Yeah.
Which is when you're mainly a bell end.
You're looking at two of them right now.
You look
now
back
on each
and go, oh, it's a massive bell end.
Do you think I'm a bell end now?
I think you're probably under the wire, not realising at times you're being a bell end.
Do you think?
But you'll look back and go,
I was a
massive bell end. Or I've got myself... The other thing, you might get yourself into situations you can't get out of, or like you think you're in love and you're not, or like I'm in love, oh no, and you realise, oh no, I was just being a bell end. I think your early 20s are the bell end years.
I think I was unintentionally a bell end earlier to Talia, our producer.
Oh.
She's recently her birthday and she was 28.
Oh yeah, you really
And I involuntarily said, that's old, without even thinking about it.
Mate.
And she's crying on the stairwell now. So
that is not a good thing to say in that, this...
Mm.
Ivo, every time we bring up a subject, and it might have a serious connotation or like some actual life attached to it, or something like a tiny bit sad.
Right.
Tom often goes, "Oh, don't be too bleak. Oh, don't get too serious." Do you think that's a thing of your that your sort of age group can't cope with real life?
Yeah. I quite like it. Yeah. I quite like a good bleak chat.
Exactly.
And I think a Monday afternoon podcast is exactly the place where you want to dig into these big things.
Yeah.
But I do think I think fearing those sort of bleak topics is a young person thing.
But what you need to understand about me, Ivo, is that it's very surface level. And if you bring up something dark, I will just break.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll just crack.
So what?
It's very two dimensional.
So what topics are you most scared up of coming up on the podcast then?
What have you brought up before that I've?
Well, quite a lot of stuff I bring up, and you go, "Oh God, don't talk about, don't talk about that."
Well, the gypsy thing was.
No,
it was
not about gypsy. Normally about emotions,
oh,
or people dying, or like
death is a big one.
But then you sort of absorb that into the realization that that's part of life, yeah. And then that makes the sort of good times and the gallows humor more sort of fun and real. I think I've not expressed that very well, but I do think there's something in that, Charlie.
That's true. And do you think that's from being 5 years older than Tom, or having lived a bit of life in the last 5 years? I'm not saying Tom hasn't lived at all,
right?
Just saying having lived and gone through some big emotional stuff.
I mean, I'm not gonna make the mistake of saying that I've had a tough time.
No,
I've had a.
No, I'm not saying you have to have had a tough time, but you've put yourself out there and lived it more than you do if you're like at home or on your own.
Yeah, I think so, and I think life gets harder.
Yeah, but better.
But richer. It gets because it's more of a broad tapestry, and you sort of lose touch with a lot of like the sort of frivolous things about younger life, like as being able to go to as many sort of parties or being able to keep sort of in touch with as many like sort of semi sort of acquaintances. But then the people that remain in your life and the experiences that really mean a lot to you mean so much more as a result, I think.
This is good.
I do think that.
And I just summed that up by saying, don't be a bellend. And that is the difference.
What were you like in your early 20s?
I think a massive bellend.
Do you think?
Yeah. I drank a lot. An awful lot.
We talked the other day about the issue with men. Men who were quite...
Leave your microphone alone.
Right, it keeps moving
but
up.
But all we can hear is that.
Look at this. When I let go, it moves.
Yeah, but okay. Right.
Well, move your seat.
Okay, carry on.
Minor technical issues.
Yeah.
We'll edit this out.
We won't.
We won't.
Go on.
We talked the other day about men who are perhaps quite like skinny when they're teenagers, then struggle with massive weight gain in their early 20s.
Yeah, that was me.
Metabolism.
Well, that was exactly me. I was really fit till I was about 18, 19.
Yeah.
And then I think because you perhaps have a bit of money in your pocket, and it's like when you're allowed to buy your own sweets, go and buy all your own sweets. So when you think, oh, I can go to the pub whenever I want, and I've moved out of my house, I can eat whatever I want. So you just start to drink and eat an awful lot, and you don't realise your metabolism slows down, you stop doing as much exercise, and you drink and eat. So maybe that's it with the whole of being in your early 20s. You suddenly have all this freedom, and you go, but you've not got the sort of brain to deal with it. So you go, I'm going to sleep with everybody and really fuck people's lives up and like try, you know, sleep with other people's girlfriends and all sorts of stuff, you know.
That happened to you, Ivo?
I've not slept with anyone else's girlfriends. Mm. I'm a very vanilla in my insistence on sleeping only with my own partner.
Yeah.
But that's only for lack of opportunity, really, rather than any sort of internal morality. If the opportunity came up, then I'd probably relent quite easily.
Sure, we could arrange that. Part two.
I wonder if that's just a comedian's head or if that's just everyone's head, because you suddenly, because I wasn't a comic till I was 26, 27. Mm. So maybe there was maybe with me as well, there was a sense of like, I'm not doing what I wanted. And I was an actor, you know, I was doing good jobs and stuff. So I was sort of in the business that I wanted to be in, but not at all.
Yeah.
Completely different one. So maybe there was that sort of locked in thing was why, you know, you sort of go, wow, why am I trying to find an escape? Because that's what you're trying to do when you're doing all these things.
Yeah, yeah.
You're being so frivolous. So maybe that was trying to find the escape. We need a psychotherapist or psychologist on to talk
about
that.
It's all good
stuff. But I think maybe that's what it is why you're such a bellend in your early 20s.
Because you've just got your first hints of sort of autonomy
and
escape, and you've got things to sort of kick back against.
But do you not think that when you're like 60, you'll think when you were 40 you were a bellend?
Yeah,
do you think that's how it never ends?
Yeah, I reckon that's how it works.
Yeah,
it's difficult for me to sit here on this podcast and go, yeah, this is how you do that, because I don't know. This is why we need someone else here who's 60.
Yeah,
someone else is who's
well. When
who's
we had
80.
Kevin McCarthy on, he told you were a bellend, didn't he?
More or less.
Yeah.
So you do, even though you go, I sort of try and explain this to my son who's 9.
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, dad, because you realise you're in charge and they're following you.
Yeah.
He said something yesterday. He went, we were having pudding or something, pudding. And he went, oh, that is spot on. Right?
Oh, you're talking
and
well.
I thought, oh, no, that's it. My wife looked at me like and went,
that's you.
Wow.
That's you.
How old is he? Nine?
Nine.
Spot
that
on.
That is spot on. Oh. And I went, oh, no. They do. So that's like a good way that they copy
great.
You. But then you realise, oh, no.
Do you watch a lot of Alan Partridge?
No. But there is certain sort of behavioural stuff.
Yeah.
Sort of stuff you go, oh, no, that is just
rubbing
me.
Off on him.
So you look back and you go, oh, God, yeah. So I think as you get older, you've got your shit together a bit more, but only through experience of not having your shit together.
Mm. Yeah.
I've always felt sort of quite obsessed with the idea that I'm always just about ready for the stage of life that I've sort of left behind.
Mm.
And I think that's probably quite true of a lot of people, but I had a great time at sort of uni, for example, but partly because I'd been at an all-boys boarding school, a lot of the for most of my life up until that point, a lot of the first sort of year or two was spent being just pathetically overexcited, just about even being able to sort of go out to sort of clubs at all or sort of have friends or like the girls there or sort of drink at all. And then just as we were about to sort of leave, I'd just negotiated my way into the position of being like a sort of cool sort of uni student, not a sort of cool one who other people thought was cool, but sort of just relaxed about the
cool,
whole thing and sort of managing my time well and not sort of just chasing any like opportunities to sort of go out, but sort of having the friends that I was sort of excited about. But then it was too late, you sort of left.
Yeah.
Now, for example, I think I'm just about sort of getting on top of personal organisation and what it is to be like self-employed. Even boring things like Tom and I were talking earlier about sort of managing the admin of my life and imposing a bit more structure on the largely sort of empty days of being a comic. I wish I'd done that a bit more when I was 22, 23, because I think I would have gotten to good habits earlier and taken my career more seriously.
But this is probably a big key to the whole of life, right? Maybe you're never, ever ready for the bit you're in.
No.
Especially if you live day to day like we do. And
So
maybe the whole thing is you go, oh, when you're 60, you go, oh, I'd love to be 40 now.
Mm.
You know, when you're 40, you're thinking, oh, I'd love to be 30 now. You know, although actually 40, I'm pretty happy with where I am. So actually, I'm not feeling like that. I feel like ready for this bit.
Yeah.
But maybe that's one of the things of like people lie on their deathbeds with regrets because they go, I was never ready for the bit, because it's hard, it comes at you at once that you can't plan for it, can you?
Yeah.
Can I ask, Charlie, do you think, because I think parenthood is obviously a big thing that loads of people aren't ready for when they go into it.
No, they're
not. That's just part of it. You just have to learn on the job and hope that being a good person and you know, and teaching good lessons will sort of carry you through. But you have had an unusually large gap between having children. Do you feel that's you taking a completely different route with your
question.
Second?
We were talking about this the other day, and I don't think there's any different. I'm trying not to parent them differently, because my first child is a boy and my second child is a girl.
Mm.
So I don't want to be that. Yeah, I treat her like a little princess.
You don't need two brilliant goalkeepers.
Yeah. and then there's the flip side where I would like her to be a goalkeeper. Because I like goalkeepers.
Go back to Lloyd Griffiths.
But also, why should she not be a goalkeeper?
Right.
Okay, you know, so.
I don't understand the goalkeeper reference.
My son's a goalkeeper.
Oh, okay.
I basically always wanted to be a goalkeeper, and he's turned into a goalkeeper.
It's like a really
only through his own choice.
Right. Okay.
But I am pretty pleased about it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I said, obviously I won't. But then I thought, well, why wouldn't I take her out to be a goalkeeper?
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's by the by. I think all it is, you take again your experience from before. What you feel you did wrong, and you almost get another go at it, and because of that you're more confident, and so because of that you're more relaxed, and so if you're more relaxed, it works better. Anything works better when you're relaxed, doesn't it? So it's like, not that I feel like I know what I'm doing. You're still going every time. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Oh my God, she coughed. Yeah. Is she all right? No, this is fine. This is fine. Oh my God, she's up all night. You know, she was up. You know, so with parenting, I just think it's experience and relaxation, and but then at the same time, you don't want to be too relaxed because you don't want your second child to be all over the place.
No.
But I do actually think the 9-year gap has helped.
That's interesting.
This is going to sound quite profound. I don't mean it to.
That's but quite a big thing to say.
Boast,
I know, it's quite a big boast, isn't it?
Yeah, pull my
fingers. Well, it's not going to sound
profound. It might just be a really like trite observation. This is going to be
quite profound.
I remember
when I was...
Life is a journey,
like a box of chocolates. Go on, Tom.
But when I was like 16, right, I remember having this moment like where I thought, where you sort of realise that your parents are just like people.
Mm.
They're just people. Like up until you're like, I think it was like 16, you used to look at them as like not human.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
you realise that they are just people. Yeah. Like, just try.
It's when you realise they're fallible, I think.
Yeah.
You go, oh, you're wrong sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you don't know what you're doing.
It's weird, isn't it?
Or, it's sort of exciting and really sort of scary as well, I think.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're still in a position of sort of dependence.
Yeah.
If you're me, I don't know, when were your parents born, Tom? How old
My dad's like 50.
Okay.
And my mum is 45, I think.
5 years older than me.
Okay. No harm.
So, what year were they? What year were they? See, well, I look back at my
63.
So I was born 76. Okay.
Right. Okay.
So I look back at baby photos in the sort of late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
And everyone's smoking and drinking, no seatbelts in cars and all this sort of stuff. And you think, how did anyone survive any of this? But then you realise everyone just, everyone's just trying their best all the
time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nobody knows what they're doing ever. And you look back at, you look back further and you go, there's a child with an axe.
Yeah, yeah.
during World War One.
Child with an axe.
You know, and you sort of go, nobody ever knows what they're doing. And nobody has ever known what they were doing.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of survival.
A lot of those children we can create the ones with axes.
We can create as many safe things as you want to create. Mm. But
it's all just people trying their best
to crack on.
Yeah.
I think it's when you start to overlap with, you start to get to the age that your parents were when you were born, that you start to sort of I'm not quite there yet, but I'm sort of at the age that my parents were and they get married, and so that affects how I sort of think about slightly where my sort of life's going, or my sort of relationship with my girlfriend. And then I think about the fact that my dad was only a couple of years older than me when he was a parent for the first time.
Yeah.
And that sort of ludicrously authoritative figure that I remember as a sort of in my earliest memories is actually just someone who's not much older than I am
now.
And
also just a bit stressed. And will have been authoritative because he was probably just hungover that morning and had had a bad day. When you realise, you just had a bad day at
work. It's like when you first realise that teachers, when you start to have friends at about 20, 21 who are teachers who are hungover and you start going, my teachers are probably hungover.
It's like when you used to see teachers in Sainsbury's. Like, they're just a person.
Yeah.
Like Mr Dixon's buying fish fingers. He's just a human.
Yeah, that's a good point about that, because I'm the same age as my dad was. I was born, how am I going to say this? So my dad was 30 when he had me,
right,
and I was 30 when we had Stan. So exactly the same.
Yeah.
So now I do go, oh my god, you didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah.
You didn't have a clue.
And did you get to share that with him, that sort of
we get on very well. So you do,
but when you think back to like my grandparents had children at like 21.
My grandparents, my nan was one of nine.
Yeah,
you know, so that, all that has changed. That's what has changed, I think, is people having less children later.
It can't get much later than it is now though, can it? Because you can't just keep getting later and later, people having children later and later.
I don't think it could
for men, but not.
I would put it off as long as you can put it off. And also, you don't have to get married, you don't have to live with someone really early, you don't have to do all those things. You could, don't constantly search for the one.
I want to be one of those old dads like Ronnie Wood. They look like the grandparents.
That would be really exhausting.
I'd like to do that, though.
You can do that if you're Ronnie Wood because you've got millions and millions and millions of pounds.
Yeah.
If you're just living in a three-bed semi somewhere and you are on 25 grand, 30 grand a year, it would be the most exhausting thing I can ever... I'm more tired now because I'm 40 rather than 30 having a baby.
It is
exhausting. You think you've been tired. You've not been tired.
Also,
this is getting dangerously close to a Michael McIntyre bit.
Don't get parenty on me, because we don't want to be that. We're talking about being in our 20s.
Isn't Ronnie Wood the one with quite a sordid personal life as well?
But that's what I base my life on.
No, that's
so.
Bill Wyman.
It's Bill Wyman.
So, we've got to get... We're coming towards the end of it.
Oh, that's a shame.
I know. Ivo, are you happy with where you are now, and you've enjoyed your early 20s?
Oh, yeah. I've had a great time, but I'm not scared of them being over, I think, yet. I think...
You're not clinging on to your youth.
No, I don't have enough of a a sort of panic about getting things done, as I think some people do. For example, I was talking about to someone about travelling, which I know is a bit of a sort of, you know, middle class like sort of cliche, like, you know, worrying about whether you've travelled enough or whatever, a bit of a first world problem. But apart from sort of living abroad a little bit when I was young, I've not sort of done a lot of the classic things that people do where they go to South America or sort of or those sorts of things. And a few of my friends in their sort of mid-20s are starting to sort of try and take sabbatical, maybe because they're getting married or whatever,
sabbaticals from work, and they'll... That's panic.
Panic, you've got to take that off. And actually, I'm not that interested in doing these things. I know I will be later down the line, maybe when I sort of appreciate the value of sort of seeing the world a bit more, but I'm not in a rush to do it. And even if I do it in, you know, 30 years when I can afford to take my kids there...
That's probably because you like your job, though, as well.
I do like my job.
If you're in
true.
A position where you like your job and so you like your life, you're not trying to escape.
That's true.
And I think a lot of travel and going, I'm going to take a year off, is a panic that, oh my god, I went to university at 18, I left, I got a job, and I've been on this treadmill, and now I need to escape. So
that is
like
true. We are very lucky as comics to have.
You do have
a lot
of free time as well, don't you? Yeah, you have lots of free time.
I'd say just go for it and absolutely rinse it.
I think the problem, because I haven't really been to university, because I was there for like a term. Probably will have what happens to people who don't go to university, where like when they're like 25, they suddenly like.
Panic
and do what everyone did when they were 19, and just go mental,
because
they never got out of their system when they were 19.
Exactly, you do what you need to do, you know. Is the thing. I'm looking forward to when we're still doing this podcast, 15 years time, and Tom's doing an OU course.
Tom comes in late.
I had a
lecturer and a bender.
Just wanted to finish my degree.
Yeah,
yeah.
A lecturer and a bender. Thank you, Ivo. You haven't got a show to push or anything.
No, I've got nothing to plug.
At Ivo Graham.
Yeah, Ivo Graham on Twitter if you want one tweet a week.
At Tom Lucy, at Baker's Tweet. Give us your feedback. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ivo.
Enjoy your life, whatever stage of it you're at.
Oh, age appropriate.
Very
ting!
Nice.
The Age Appropriate Podcast with Tom Lucy and Charlie Baker. Ooh.